Amen. Yeah, excellent job. Thank you, folks. Take your Bibles, turn to the book of Luke, back there where Brother Woosley led you just a few moments ago. Thank you for coming tonight. As always, it's an honor to preach here in Brother Wilkerson's pulpit and to share the gospel with you and the Word of God. And I pray that you'll ask the Holy Spirit to help you as you listen and help me as I preach tonight. In verse 11, it said, "And he said, a certain man had two sons." In verse 13, it says, "And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living." I believe Brother Wilkerson was speaking on this, or reading this passage a few weeks ago, and I wrote down several notes next to these words, and that's what I'm going to preach tonight. But I got looking at that statement, and there he wasted his substance with riotous living, and I got thinking about all that sin does and all that sin takes from you. It never gives to you. It always takes. But here it says that all happened after he took his journey into a far country. The Bible doesn't say what country he went to. It doesn't say how far a far country is. I think every one of us, we know of somebody, and probably tonight during the message, we're going to think of somebody, maybe one of our own children, maybe a relative or family member, who we would say tonight they're in a far country. They're away from the things of God, and they're not living the right kind of life, and they're away. They're in a far country. And you wonder, those of you who are young people right now and maybe graduating in a few years or in college and you're going to be out in the world on your own in a few years, maybe a semester or two or three or four, and all of a sudden the world starts looking different to you and you will start exploring things and going directions that maybe you shouldn't go, and you step out a little ways. And I think most everybody in this room has taken a few steps in a direction they shouldn't have from time to time. Our youth conference a little over a week ago, and by the way, thank you and all of everyone who helped in that conference. What a great thing God gave us and a great opportunity we had, and many young people were saved, many young people were helped. But we had behind here on the platform a road that went up, and Dwight had fabricated a road, and we had a car hood here that was our pulpit, and many of you remember that. But on that road, there were lines on either side. And we taught on that a couple of times. But those lines are important there to help us and to guide us along our journey. And sometimes even now, they make little rumble strips or they make little bumps there that when your tire hits it, you feel it. Or now your cars will tell you that you're going over the line. And many of us, all of us at some point in time, have gone too far this way or too far that way. I remember, Brother Woosley, you were driving a bus back from Gaylord, Michigan in a snowstorm. And we'd taken the kids up skiing. And you were driving that flat-nosed bus. And we just hit a snowstorm that was just unbelievable. And you couldn't stop or pull over. Because somebody would have hit you, you had to go about 20 miles an hour. And I remember I was standing, Brother Woosley was driving, I was standing at the window next to him. Brother Fred Mooney was down in the wheel well, and we were watching I was watching the center line, because we couldn't see but more than 10, 15 feet ahead. And Brother Mooney was watching the right line, and I was going, go right, go right. Fred was going, go left. And we went about 20 miles like that, just watching those lines during inclement weather. But all of us at some point in time cross those lines, but we always know where they are. Then there's some young people that just want to go off-road. You know, they just want to, they got a 4x4, they got a whatever, and they just want to go across the Badlands. That's what this boy was. He got in his craw that, you know what, he needed to go explore life and be a part of the world. And that's what he did. And the Bible doesn't say how long he was there, but he was there long enough. But when you look at that far country and you look at that as that he lost everything, every bit, every dime he had. He had no money for food. A famine had happened. There was no work. And he had no friends. He had nothing. And he went to work for somebody and he started fighting the pigs for their food. And then he came to himself and he said, I think I might go check out my father. I might go home. And here we have a young man that had everything probably going for him. Had he stayed home, life would have been difficult because he would have had to work every day. But he found out that life was harder outside of God's will than it was inside of God's will. But he found out that the far country, where is that far country? What is it? How far is that far country? Well, a couple things here, a couple thoughts. It's far enough to be unconcerned with your home life. He got far enough away to where he was no longer concerned with what his dad thought. You ever been on vacation and you got far enough away from your job, far enough away from Sherrillville, or far enough away from Hammond, and then you kind of forgot about it? The Upper Peninsula is that for me. As soon as I cross the Mackinac Bridge, I love this church and I love what I do. But when I cross the Mackinac Bridge, you know what? I don't love you anymore. I forget totally about you. And it's like going to just like a time zone you go through, or just some kind of force that you go, black hole, and all of a sudden you are in a different place. And I really don't. I might call back to the office and talk to Miss Linda and say, what's going on? She'll tell me everything that's going on. And all I'm hearing is Charlie Brown's teacher, you know. And sorry, Miss Linda, but I don't really care what goes on here while I'm there. It's just one of those places in the world to where I forget about home. And here, the far country was obviously a place where this young man went to where he forgot about what his dad had taught him. He forgot about how to live. He forgot about the rules and guidelines that mom and dad had put into him. Forgot about all the Bible studies that they had and the family devotions and all the church services. He forgot about all those things. And the direction he had as a youth was no longer there. There was no communication with his mom and dad. So he forgot about home. I don't know how far that country was, but it was far enough to forget home. I don't know how far it was, but it was also far enough to embrace the sins of the world. He was away from home to where he felt comfortable enough to partake in, the Bible called it, riotous living. And we could all imagine what that is and what that took place there. But he got far enough away. You don't live that way with your dad standing there. You don't live that way knowing that your father could come in at any time or drive up and see you. You live that way when you're far enough away that you don't care what your dad says or your dad thinks. And you begin to embrace the sins that you once hated. You become like the world. You embrace it. You embrace it. The story in the Bible, won't take time to turn there or read it, but the story of David, who was a man after God's own what? Heart. God loved David and David loved God, but he got so tired of Saul chasing him that he decided to give it all up, and he went to a town called Ziklag, which was owned and operated by the Philistines, whom he hated. That was where Goliath was from. Remember, Goliath wasn't from Ziklag, but he was a Philistine. And he fought with Philistine armies, and David hated the Philistines. But now he goes and he asks them for one of their cities, and they gave it to him and his men. And then he became like them. He lived like them. He fought like them. He pillaged. He killed women and children like them. He became as a Philistine. And none of us would think we'd ever be like that, but that's what happens in a far country. He got far enough away where he embraced the sins of this world, and they became his. They became commonplace. You say, well, how do I know if I've gone too far across that line? Does it seem sinful to you anymore? Does it seem commonplace? Is wrong anymore? Look at this country and look what we have to deal with the transgender stuff and all that garbage that goes on. It doesn't even bother us. We've gotten so used to it. And this country has gone to a far country. It's gone to a place to where no longer stay near to the things of God, to where now they embrace the sins of the world and they see the way of the world and they own it now, and they listen to Satan, and Satan's way now becomes their way. They bought in. They're part of it. Amos 3:3 says, how can two walk together lest they be agreed? So they would have to be an outcast into that far country or become like that far country. And they have become, and he became that. This young boy, getting away from home for the first time, he didn't have to work the long hours like his dumb brother. He didn't have to obey his dad anymore. Now he's living in riotous living in a far country. No longer is he separate from the things that hurt the body and hurt the spirit and hurt the Son of God and God the Father. Right now, he becomes, the Bible is no longer significant in his life. And we all now are probably thinking of somebody in our life that is like that right now. Or maybe it was you, or maybe it is you at this point in time. But I don't know how far that far country is, but it's far enough to be unconcerned with your home. It's far enough to embrace the sins of this world. And it's far enough country just to get lost. To get lost. For all of a sudden you're at a place to where you can't find your way. How many of you have ever been lost before? It's not fun being lost. Brother Woosley's on the platform, and Brother Vogel's out here, but they used to take us on 8th grade trip up to the Boundary Waters. And they were doing some rappelling off side of a hill, and Brother Teft was with us, and Jimmy Vogel was with us, and we got to talking. We were at the top of the hill, and we decided to go for a walk. And Brother Teft wanted to find caves. You remember that? He had this thing, hopefully he could find a bear cave. And so we began to walk, and we walked, and we walked, and it wasn't real long by our watches, but it seemed like a long way, long enough to get far enough away from hearing junior hires scream as they're going down, rappelling down ropes. And all of a sudden, we got walking around, and one of us, Brother Jimmy, said, do you have your compass? And none of us, 3 leaders, every kid in the whole camp had a compass. We didn't have our compasses. And you're in the Boundary Waters in a wilderness area, and you can walk 15 feet in trees and not know your way around. And you know what happens when you get lost? You start to act brave, but you start to panic as well. And all of a sudden you're thinking, you know what, where are we? I don't hear the kids anymore. Which direction? The canopy's too high. You can't see the sun. We don't have a compass. And we're starting to argue with each other. Jimmy, come on. Don't you know the way here? Chris Teft. Hey, come on, Chris. You know, you're 82nd Airborne. Find the way out. Charlie, Mike us out of here or something, you know. Help us to get to where we got to go. If you ever hear Brother Teft tell a story, he embellishes it a lot. And he tells a story. He says, yeah, your Brother Eddie was over there in the fetal position up against a rock crying like a little girl. We had to slap him. But eventually we found our way back. But I just remember we went from being very good friends to being angry at each other in 25 minutes. Getting lost isn't fun. And when you're in a world and you're in a place and you're in sin where you know you don't belong, you tried to adapt to that part of the world. You tried to become like them. You tried to drink like them. You tried to smoke like them. You tried to live riotously, as the Bible calls it again. And we try to live that life that's not our life. And now all of a sudden, you know what? You have no friends. Because you're out of money. You're out of worth to them. And all of a sudden you have no, you don't know where to go. You don't know where to turn to. Nobody to help you. And he can't find good work. And he finds a farmer that says, you know, would you help me? And he says, yeah, go out there in the field and feed the pigs. And he says, you know, the pigs have food enough to eat. But I don't. I don't. He was pretty far away, wasn't he? He was so far, he was lost. He was so far, he didn't know where to turn. But he found something in his heart. He was far enough away to be unconcerned with home and then to be embrace the sins of this world and to get lost in the world. He lost his family. He lost his dignity. My guess, his health was just shot. He was starving to death. He was fighting the pigs for their food. Friends don't love him. They don't even trust him anymore. And now he finds himself far enough away in a far country that he could find, you know what? He found out there's always a way home. How far is a far country? It's far enough to go home. It's not too far from your house. It's not too far from the house of God. It's not too far from the loving arms of a Savior. Home is where forgiveness is found. Home is where restoration begins. It's where you ask God for forgiveness. In verse 18, he said, I will arise and go to my Father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned. Home is where you turn. Home is where you come back to. And no matter how far the country is that you've gone to, no matter how far you've gone into sin, you can always come home. God is always willing to accept you. God is always willing to be your father again. There may be others like the brother of his that was not happy at the homecoming of his wayward brother. And Christians may not always accept you, but your heavenly Father will. There are some of you sitting here today that have gone through some times like this, and you understand what it's like to come home to a loving father and a loving family and friends that will help restore your life. That's how we ought to be to those who go astray. We ought to be willing to accept them and help get them restored. Home is where God's love is shown and God's love is found. He says, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. And he's telling himself this. It's where we would call it a coming to Jesus moment, to where finally he chucks all the pride in the pig pen. And he says, this isn't worth it. I've lost everything that I have. I gotta go home. I gotta go see my Father again. I've sinned against him. The admittance of his wrong. In the confession of his sin, he says, and I am no more worthy to be called thy son. The humility there. Just to think that maybe my dad would just allow me to become as one of his hired servants. God the Father says, no, 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 no. You're not going to be my hired servant. You're going to be my son. You're going to be my son. In verse 20, it says, as Brother Woosley read, and he arose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him. Obviously, his father had been looking for him. And had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And everything happened the way he hoped it would after he had spent all in a far country. Two groups in this room tonight, there are those of you that are in a far country tonight. I don't know who you are. I have nobody, literally nobody in mind. In fact, this isn't the message I planned to preach tonight. Nobody came to me and said, hey, would you preach on this? This is just, I felt very strongly that this is what the Lord wanted me to preach. But if you're in that position in this world right now, let me beg you, just go home. I've used this illustration before, and Brother Woosley, you'll know this well. You've taken a lot of kids fishing, right? Your family, and I know you guys like fishing, but if you've seen, I've used this before, but when a reel spools, backlashes, it gets all tangled. And every fisherman goes to this, especially a young one, and all of a sudden you'll hear them whining or crying, and they're pulling and they're yanking on this string, this fish line. And when they're yanking and they're pulling on it, they're trying to get it out, and they're getting frustrated. And what's happening is the knots in there are getting tighter and tighter and tighter. And when I see that, and I see a young person pulling on that and getting tighter, I immediately just holler at them and say, stop. Just stop. Just stop. And they'll look at me like, what did I do wrong? It's not what you did wrong. It's that you're making what wrong you did worse. Just stop. Stop. And then I tell them, just start picking it apart. Set your pole down. Sit down. Stop fishing. Stop trying. And start pulling the lines apart. You can't see it, but there's a little tiny knot here that will take. I've got it apart many times. And you can use a small pen to even help, but you can get this out 90% of the time. But just stop. Just stop. Try to figure it out. Find your way back. That's what this young man did. He stopped and he said, what am I doing? What am I doing? Look at me. I'm living with pigs. I spent every dime I had with riotous living, and now I got nothing. And then, you know what? If you can't figure it out, you get somebody to help. Brother Woosley, come help me. Brother Eddie, come help me. And you know, usually we can. And if you're like that person in a far country, stop. Try to figure out where you're supposed to be. Get some new direction. Go a different path. Or go back home. Go to where you left. Make things right with your father. Make things right with those that you hurt. Go to the altar at church and ask God to forgive you and God to restore you. Own your consequences. And you know what? You'll find that you can fish again. You'll find that you can live again. You'll find that you can work with your father and your brother again. There are some of you, second group here, that have somebody that you love and you care about who's gone that direction. They're in a far country right now. You know, instead of fretting and being angry, the Bible says watch. His father was watching, hoping that he'd come home. I don't want to ever see that boy again. He took my birthright. He took everything that I had and what was supposed to be an inheritance to him. In many ways, he wished I was dead so he could receive his inheritance. That's not going to bring him home. Fall on your face. Come to the altar. Beg God to help him, guide him. Ask the Lord to help him find a pig pen. Ask the Lord to direct him. Ask the Lord to give him time. Give him time to stop and try to figure it out. If you have someone like that you're thinking of right now, I am. That's a person we ought to pray for. In just a moment, we're going to go to the invitation. I don't know what the Lord has for you during the invitation tonight. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, tonight is a night for salvation. You too can ask Him to come into your heart, and He can become your Heavenly Father. You're living in a far country right now, not knowing where eternity holds for what eternity holds for you. But that can be changed tonight. And we'd be happy to take the Bible and show you direction and how you can find Jesus Christ as your Savior. If you need to come and get something squared away, maybe you've stepped across that line tonight a little bit further than you'd planned to. Maybe you ought to come and say, God, I need to get square back on track. I need to get back in the middle of the road. I need to find my way back. I don't want to go to a far country. I don't even want to get out of town. I want to get back to where I need to be. And if you know of somebody that is in a far country, come and pray for them. At your seat, come to the altar. Get with your spouse or get with a friend and pray that God will help them to have time to see their sin, to forsake their pride and realize they can come home. Let's bow our head and close our eyes. And let me ask you right now, and let me say, Brother Eddie, I'm part of that first group. I've stepped across some lines. I'm going a direction probably I shouldn't go. I'm headed for a far country. I'm not quite there yet, maybe, but pray for me, Brother Eddie. Pray for me. Would you slip your hand up? Would you slip your hand up? Yeah, several of you. How many of you say, Brother Lapine, I know somebody I'm praying for? They're in a far country tonight. They're going a direction. It may be religiously. It may be just sinfully. They're going a direction that's not leading them to the culture that they were taught, the Scripture, the Bible, the doctrine. But I'm praying for that, praying for someone like that. My hand's raised. Who else will join me? That's good. Let's all stand to our feet. Our music will play. The altar's here. You can come use it as you see fit. If you're going to get baptized tonight, I want you to come up and we'll get you ready real fast here. So if you'll make your way up. Your head's bowed and your eyes closed. Would you pray? Pray for those who are straight tonight. For those kids who are going to camp the next week or two, those bus kids, pray that God will work on their heart. Jesus Christ is your Savior. If you'd like to talk to somebody about that tonight, just step out of your seat and come down and this next chorus of a song. We'll be happy to share the Bible and open it to you and show you exactly what you need to know to get to heaven. You can come right now. Sometimes we're, if you look this way, sometimes we're ashamed to even bring the name of somebody that we know that's away from the Lord. You know, look, it doesn't matter how far they've gone. If God loves them, we ought to love them too. And my opinion is the more people we can get praying for that person, the better off that person's going to be. And incite the help of others to pray with you. If you have a friend that you can pray with, or a one of the pastors, we'd love to pray with you if you have somebody that's just burdening your heart. But I don't think sitting in anger, sitting in bitterness, is not helping anybody. It's definitely not helping you, and it's definitely not helping them. And they need somebody to return to. And if you were had gone that direction, if things in your life had gone differently, you might want somebody to leave the light on for you too. But let's not be bitter. You know, everybody that you may even hate right now, God loves. And you know what? If they're saved, they're going to be with you and me in heaven. And you're going to have to like them then. You don't have a choice. You might as well square things up today while you can. On this earth, spend time as much as you can with them in a right way. Father, we ask your blessings upon the service tonight. Thank you for allowing us to be here. We thank you for your goodness and your patience with us. We thank you for your redemptive power. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.